Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
The Premier League All Access podcast is proud to be brought to you by Ladbrokes. Stay ahead of all the big games in the best league in the world, the Premier League. With the latest odds, form guides, expert opinions and more, the fans are the players at Ladbrokes. Are you in? Let's go. Play at ladbrokes.com, 18 plus, begambleaware.org. T's and C's apply.
This is a Game Day podcast from TalkSport. Game Day, your verdict.
It was another cracking day on Game Day on TalkSport today. Liverpool moved 16 points clear at the top of the Premier League with a 1-0 win at Tottenham to take full advantage of Leicester losing 2-1 at home to Southampton. Manchester United ended a run of 3 games without a win in all competitions as they thrashed Norwich 4-0 at Old Trafford. It finished 1-1 in the early game between Crystal Palace and Arsenal, and of course there was plenty of controversy surrounding VAR once again. Here is the very best of your reaction to the day's football on your verdict of me, Laura Woods and Darren Bent, and also the full-time phone-in with Adrian Durham and Alvin Martin. This is the Game Day Your Verdict podcast. Right, let's get straight into it and head over to Tottenham Hotspur Stadium with Sam Matterface.
The best start to a season that Europe has ever seen belongs to Liverpool Football Club. The coronation might be 3 months away, but they already look as if they are very comfortable in their new robes. Jurgen Klopp walked into Anfield saying he was the normal one. He has proved against the special one and every other one, there is nothing normal about him and nothing normal about this Liverpool team. They have come to the new Tottenham Hotspur Stadium and they have won the game. Roberto Firmino has done the damage. Tottenham will look back at missed opportunities for Lo Celso and for Son, but they've lost the game ultimately. Tottenham 0, Liverpool 1.
Let's listen to Tony, the Liverpool fan now. He's called up. Tony, how you doing?
Good evening, Laura. Evening, Darren. Hope you're well.
Good evening. What did you make of that today?
Yeah, as we expected, a tough game against Mourinho. He would love to put a spoke in our wheel. And to be honest, they had a good go at us, and that's what we expected. But I think that's now 88 points out of the last 90 points available that Liverpool have won. And the run is absolutely ridiculous. It really is. Even we admit that now. It's outrageous, but it's nowhere near done. Nowhere near done.
Where do you think, I mean, when you say it's nowhere near done, do you think that there are elements in this season where you can still slip up or games that you're a little bit more wary of?
I just think it's a mentality. I think it's purely down to the manager. He is the star. You know, no ifs, buts or maybes. The star of Liverpool is Jurgen Klopp. Head and shoulders above every player. And it's the mentality that he obviously imbues onto the players. And, you know, they respect everyone we play. Absolutely. No one is taken or underestimated, shall we say, regardless of the competition. And I just think he's got that, dare I say it, that German mentality, and it's absolutely driven, and you can see that right through the club, through the young players as well. There's no magic wand. It's just this has all been building over 3-4 years now, and you know you look at the record books. I mean, what this team could do this season might never ever be done again in the Premier League. Never ever be done again. I mean, it's outrageous what they're doing now, and I think they've completely demoralised the opposition. If Man City were to drop any points tomorrow, Liverpool still have a game in hand. I mean, if we would then to go on and win the game in hand, then I think Man City and Leicester would be in obviously desperate trouble. I think psychologically Liverpool are just so strong, Laura.
I think that's it, Tony. Like, Darren, I remember when we were talking about the City team in the last couple of seasons before this one, and we just assumed that they were going on and dominate English football for such a long time because Pep had this mentality about him and this way of keeping on winning, and you just didn't think he could break it down. For me, when you compare him to Jurgen Klopp, that's probably the biggest compliment you can play Jurgen, is that he's made Pep look human. And I know that Pep has had to handle injuries and important injuries as well. And you might ask the question of what would happen to Jurgen Klopp if he lost Virgil van Dijk. But he has had significant injuries. He had Alisson at the beginning of the season. He's had to flip-flop with a lot of his players in midfield as well. But when I look at that team, that Liverpool side, Jurgen Klopp has managed to keep up this level of intensity and continually get better season on season since he joined that club.
He has, and it's that German mentality, as you said there, that winner's mentality. And even when Lo Celso today missed that chance, he was going absolutely ballistic at somebody about maybe not marking and giving up opportunities. But listen, what he's done, you're right, because when Manchester City and Pep got together and started playing this football, everyone thought they were indestructible, that this team could go on and dominate English football for many years to come. And I think he took that to heart. I think Jurgen Klopp took that to heart and thought, well, I've got a good side here, but it was about them showing it. And I think the moment they obviously won the Champions League, and the last couple of seasons, they have looked, you know, I mean, indestructible again. I mean, Virgil van Dijk has played a massive part. You cannot underestimate that, because at times at the back, Liverpool looked ropey. Going forward was never really an issue, but defensively they looked a bit ropey. Lovren was making mistakes. They weren't sure about Matip. Gomez was a little bit in and out. But since he's come there and set everyone down, as I said, they look like a different juggernaut. But you're right, the biggest star of that show is Jurgen Klopp, and I don't think he's done yet. I mean, obviously, I know he signed a new contract, and I can see Liverpool. But then again, we're going to say Liverpool are going to dominate again next season, and then Manchester City or Chelsea or someone else will come. But as I said, right now, Liverpool are the best team in this country.
Got to go down to Jurgen Klopp. He's with Sam Atterface.
Thank you very much, Laura. I'm in the tunnel with Jurgen Klopp. Congratulations, another victory. But what was your going through your brain when the two chances that Spurs missed towards the end of that game?
Relief, probably. Relief. That was one really big one. Don't know exactly. I didn't see it back, so how I missed it, but the cross on the second post and then on the far post, and then there was a volley. Apart from that, Ali saved our lives two or three times. But that the game was still open was obviously in that moment was of course our fault. I think the last 15 minutes were a bit wild. Until then, we controlled the game and we played really good football game. It just is intense in a different way, because the opponent sets up really defensively. We still create chances, but each ball they use is a massive counter attack where you have to run like crazy. And so, I think before we were 1-0 up, we should have been already 1-0 or 2-0 up. That would have changed the game completely. But with 1-0, yeah, it's just a game, and you have to fight until the end, and that's what we did.
Coming through unscathed again, that's now 6 Premier League clean sheets in a row. How integral is that to your success?
It's important, of course. It's important, but look, having a clean sheet because you defended perfectly is top. But today, we didn't defend perfectly, so that's why we had to. That's why Ali had a couple of saves to match, and then and Tottenham had to miss a chance, a big one. So it's not, clean sheet is not clean sheet, and we know that. We don't lie to ourselves, so we know that we can do better. But again, coming to Tottenham, and at the end, I think nobody doubts that we deserved these 3 points. So yes, they could have scored the equalizer, and that's how football is. But then, with all the other 75 minutes where we were completely in charge of the game, would be still lucky. But now we won it with a little bit of luck in the last 15 minutes. That's how it is. I can deal with that. But the boys know where we can do better, what we can do better, and we will do better.
Where you can do better, it's difficult to sort of digest that, because no one has ever had this many points at this stage of the season, not just here, but in Europe's top five leagues. So I know it doesn't mean anything, and I know you're going to say to me, you haven't won anything yet, and that's right. Yeah. But ultimately, it does underscore the way you've transformed this team, doesn't it?
I'm not sure. So it's I don't know exactly why never somebody had it, but the only thing I can say, when the first people told me after the game, I didn't feel anything. It was not pride. It was not, I was not ecstatic or whatever. It was just, okay. So that's how it feels. So when you have it, what we have to do is to be as successful as possible for this football club. That's what we try, day in and day out. Sometimes we do better, sometimes we are not so good. So far, these boys showed a sensational character. But the season is not over, it's not decided. We have a good position, yes, that's true. And now just we have to continue, that's all, really. And when somebody tells me in 10 years that was the best start ever and will stay forever the best start, then I start thinking about it. Until then, I'm not interested.
Let's go to John. He's a Liverpool fan. Welcome to the show, John.
Oh, very good. Thank you very much.
Oh, of course you are. It's brilliant to be a Liverpool fan at the moment, isn't it?
Oh, it's great to be red.
What about today, though? Because genuinely, it wasn't your finest performance. You're a little bit shaky defensively. And if the chances that Spurs had, if they'd have actually taken them and finished a little bit better, you might have been in a bit more trouble, would you think?
Oh, yeah, they could have. If they'd have took a couple of chances, they could have quite easily have took us today. Mm. But it's just, they dig in, and with players like Jordan Henderson just who doesn't get all the credit that he always deserves.
Correct.
Yeah. You know, he just gets... He does the dirty stuff that people don't celebrate as much in football. You know, I don't mean dirty in a bad way.
No, I know.
He just gets all the hard stuff done. And my main call in really was, with Harry Kane being out and everything, I think Jordan Henderson should be a shoo-in for England captain.
Yeah, do you think?
Yeah, of course, 100%. Yeah. I mean, it was harsh that he lost it in the first place, but you're right. Is that? I mean, listen, he's helped Liverpool lift the Champions League. He's going to captain them. Looks like to win the Premier League. And listen, he is someone that, you're right, does all the stuff that he does. Works hard, puts tackles in. It's that unnoticed. I mean, listen, he's the only guy I've ever trained with and played with that got pulled out of training because their heart rate was too high.
I can't believe it. He's the only player, honestly, it always looks like he's going to burst a blood vessel.
All the years I've trained and played, like, he was the only player where the manager had to pull him out of training because they were like, listen, your red zone stats are way too high, like, you're going to have a heart attack if you carry on, and he got pulled out of training.
Well, John, we'll ask you this question. Me and Darren were actually having this conversation off air earlier on about why he doesn't get as much credit than perhaps Gerrard did of his time, and we were saying, is it because it's not as an attractive position that he plays, and or maybe that he's just playing in a team where there are so many world-class players around him, and it was a little bit different when Gerrard was there?
Yeah, exactly that as well. He doesn't score the amount of goals Gerrard scored either, but you can just see, you just watch him on the pitch every game, and he's just G-ing the players on so much.
I've got a question for you, John. I've got a question for you, right?
Go on.
If Liverpool win the Premier League this season, Is Jordan Henderson a more successful captain than Steven Gerrard?
I've had this conversation this last couple of weeks, actually, and to be honest, you'd have to say yes.
Wow,
yeah,
at least he's
definitely
honest.
And well, Steven Gerrard is an absolute legend. Don't get me wrong. We still worship the ground Stevie walks on. But if Jordan can be the first Liverpool captain to lift a league title, you know, since, 1990. You know, I was 13 when we last won the league. I've never enjoyed a pint as a league title, you know. And, for all Stevie did, Stevie won the European Cup, won the FA Cup on his own against West Ham that day. But if Jordan could do that this season, he'd be up there with Souness and with Emlyn Hughes and with Steven Gerrard. But yeah, he'd be up there, definitely alongside him, maybe, you know, because he's still got years to go as well.
John, as a Liverpool fan, can I ask you, if it gets to the point in the season, which it probably will, where it's done and dusted, you've won the league and you've got games in hand and there's not much focus left on the Premier League, would you rather go on and try and do it unbeaten, or would you start resting players in the Premier League and focus on the Champions League again?
There's affinity with our club and the Champions League and the European Cup. So, yeah, it'd be great to go the season unbeaten. Yeah, that would be amazing. But would you rather go the season unbeaten, or would you rather win the Premier League and the Champions League? You'd rather have both, wouldn't you? So, I would rather... Right, if we could sew it up... you know, I'm still one of those, mate. I will not say... We are going to win it. I will not say it until we can. We have actually done it. So hopefully, come 4th of April, we can.
Jose Mourinho is now with Sam at base in the tunnel. Sam!
Yes, thank you very much. I'm delighted to say, Laura, I'm with Jose Mourinho, who's in the tunnel with me. And we saw your reaction to the missed chances on the floor, platoon style, but try to put into words what you were feeling when those chances from Son and Lo Celso were missed.
No, the platoon style was to celebrate the goal, because I saw the ball in the net, but then it ended with frustration. That's football. We deserve much more than what we... than what we get. We got nothing, and we deserve. I can only be happy with the players, frustrated with a few things during the game, but that's the way it is. But I think big match, big football match.
So you were pretty satisfied with the performance. You said before the game you'd have to play differently because of the personnel issues that you've had. Overall, from what you saw, you were satisfied?
I am satisfied. I know that the team couldn't play for 90 minutes the way we did in the last 30. We don't have our physical condition adapted to that intensity. Liverpool is. We know that if we let the game go on high pressure and then
defensive transitions, we knew that we would break. That's not what this team is used to do, and this is what Liverpool does for a few years already. So the plan was correct. Of course, the goal that we conceded is a frustrating goal by two reasons. One, because we trained yesterday defensive throw-ins, and we conceded a goal in a throw-in. The second reason why it's frustrating is because it was a throw-in for us, because Mané was the one that touched the ball. But that's it.
You sprung a few team surprises with your selection today. What did you think of the overall contribution from Japhet Tanganga?
I think it was very good. I think he slid once, and because of that he was not in control of one duel. Apart of that, he won the duels. He was very calm with the aggression that is part of him, but controlled aggression, not like Robertson that should get a red card. He was always very, very controlled. And I'm
you thought that challenge was a red card challenge, did you, from Andy Robertson?
Since I play against Chelsea with 10 with Son, I have to think that that challenge is not just a red card, it's a big red card. Do you want to compare with Son?
No, it's completely different, isn't it? Because he is over the top of the ball and his studs are up. Yeah. It was checked by VAR, though, and they said no.
Yeah, the same way they said no with Liverpool goal. But I don't control VAR, I work with my players.
OK, well, you did have a couple of chances. It might have been different if you'd had Harry Kane. We won't dwell on that. But will you be asking Daniel Levy if you can have a striker in January?
No. I think Daniel Levy today is proud of the players because of what the players did. He's proud of one kid that came from the academy and showed the world that he is a new player for the Premier League level. And Daniel Levy always tried to do the best for the club, and he will do what he thinks is the best and what he thinks is possible.
Let's go to Paul. He's a Spurs fan. Paul, welcome to the show. Sorry about today. You didn't get the win, didn't get the 3 points in the end. What was the problem for you?
To be honest, you know what? And I've heard a lot of us Spurs fans have been grumbling and complaining lately. But when I looked around, everyone was happy because we don't mind losing like that. Okay, at least we had some fire in our belly.
Yeah, of course,
we had some
passion
and we had some fight. We saw some great displays. Tanganga today was for me was great.
Yeah.
You know, he's got a great future ahead of him. The team were pushing. Lucas Moura was on another planet today with his efforts and his Christian Eriksen aside. I'm happy with that.
Christian Eriksen aside.
Christian Eriksen seemed like he didn't want anyone to come near him. He didn't want to push himself. He knows he's out. He knows he's going. And the fans are just fed up with him now. We're fed up. We don't want to see him. We don't want to see him anymore.
Do you know what I think? And I agree with what you're saying there. But I think for Mourinho, and if that's the case, and listen, it all seems clear to all of us, you Spurs fans as well, that he obviously wants to leave. I'd leave him out. I'd leave him out because
what Poch did and he got criticised for
it. I think now, but obviously, but Eriksen's body language is not somebody that's happy and that wants to be there. He obviously wants to leave. So I don't think if you're going to keep playing him and playing him and playing him and he's not putting effort in, I think you need to put him out.
I totally, totally agree. And all the fans around me were saying the same thing. We've just had enough of him now, you know. When Poch left him out, it was a while ago, you know, and he had the chance to say maybe he wanted to stay or put his efforts in. His efforts are just switched off. He doesn't want to commit to any decent challenges now. He doesn't bother putting himself in space. If the ball comes to him, he'll play it. But his body language is completely gone, and we don't want to see it. We'd rather see someone else in there. When Lamella come on, everyone was happy. You know, we'd rather see him pushing. But, you know, the thing that's frustrating for us is we'll have a fantastic, you know, performance like that. And, OK, we lost. But then the way we lost to Chelsea was a completely different kettle of fish. You know, we were poor, our heads were down, and it just doesn't seem to be, you know, any kind of pattern at the moment.
Yeah,
just
no
up and down, up and down.
Or no, yeah, I see what you're saying.
Yeah, no consistency. But if we play like that, you know, and if we carry on playing, then, you know, loss or not, I'll have no complaints. So come on, you Spurs.
Just a quick one. Stuart Pearce in commentary said this about the Spurs players. He said that he thought they never really believed that they can beat Liverpool. As a Spurs fan, did you believe before the game that you could actually beat Liverpool?
I always believe. I must be honest, I'm here with my dad, and my dad was the one that was shouting that Tottenham were going to win a bit louder. I was a bit more on the fence, but yeah, I think we always think we can believe on our day. We can beat anyone, and certainly the players didn't go out there with the attitude of defending today. They went out there with their tails up with the attitude to win. That's all we need to see.
Got unlucky, actually, in a few occasions, Paul. There were a number of chances where you had a few shots, and it wasn't necessarily that. I didn't think Liverpool's defence was that good today, and we've spoken about the fact they gave the ball away a number of times, and you had the chances. It was just the finishing, the way that you missed Harry Kane a little bit today. You
hit the nail on the head there. We missed Harry Kane today. At least two of those shots would have been Harry Kane goals all day long. He's injured, he's out. You can't lament on what would be, the performance was there. It's something to build on. Let's just hope that we see more of the same.
Do you think you need to replace him?
I don't think we need to replace him. I think we certainly need some more backup for him. Definitely.
Depends, I suppose, where you want to finish this season. I think you've got to go in and get someone. I don't understand why everybody... Paul, thank you very much for your call. You've got to go. But I don't understand why Spurs can't get a player to back him up when you've got other teams. I was listening to Dean Ashton earlier on. He made a really good point about City. You've got Aguero and you've got Jesus. Why is it that Spurs can't get a backup striker for Harry Kane because they're worried about him sitting on the bench when other teams manage to do it and rotate?
Well, Man City's situation is different because they got Jesus earlier on. He's been there a little while now, so he's kind of sat there, bided his time, and you know, I mean, he looks like he's going to be their main man as Aguero's getting older. But if you look at around, maybe they have to go younger because no top class centre forward is going to want to come and go, well, Harry Kane, we know he's the number one, so I'm not really going to play backup. But then you need to find somebody who believes in themselves and think, well, I don't care if I go there now, I can keep him out of the team.
Yeah, why not? They're in enough competitions. They've got enough squad rotation where you would get a game if you were a backup striker to Harry Kane. And look what happens the minute he gets injured. You could have been starting until April.
Well, you think about it, though. Harry Kane, when he's fit, he plays in every single game. And even there's even time, and I'm sure that's what's led to the injury, because he's been overworked, because there's times where they're 4 or 5 up, and whether that's for England or Spurs, and they just go, well, no, just play the whole game.
But do they just play him every time because they don't have someone good enough to back him up?
Well, no, if you're 4-0 up, you can just go without a striker and just play like they did today, Lucas Moura and Son, wide two strikers up the pitch.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Normally, being a little extra can be a bit much. But when it comes to healthcare, it pays to be extra. And United Healthcare makes it easy with Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they supplement your primary plan, helping you manage out-of-pocket costs without the usual requirements and restrictions like deductibles and enrollment periods. So when it comes to covering your medical bills, you can feel good about being a little extra. Visit uh1.com to find the Health Protector Guard plan for you.
The Premier League All Access podcast is proud to be brought to you by Ladbrokes. There's a lot more to those 90 minutes than what goes down on the pitch. With the latest odds, form guides and expert opinions, you'll know the score with Ladbrokes. Odds update on Talk Sport with Ladbrokes. Are you in? Let's go. Play at ladbrokes.com, 18+, begambleaware.org. T's and C's apply.
Game day, your verdict on Talk Sport.
I've been here at Old Trafford, where Man United won 4-0. Jarlath is a Manchester United fan who's with us on the show. I think you were at the game today, weren't you?
I was indeed, Adrian. How are you doing? You all right?
Yeah, really good. I mean, a couple of people, let me tell you a little bit about the build-up to this game, Jarlath, because a couple of people said to me, it wouldn't be a great shock if Norwich won, and I was thinking, yeah, it would be a major shock. United are fifth, Norwich are bottom, haven't got their top scorer, one win in 16. United buried them today, didn't they?
They did indeed, and you said at the top of the show there about Mason Greenwood's finish, which was absolutely unbelievable. I mean, there was a bit of a nervy energy around Old Trafford, I thought, about half an hour into the game before Rashford obviously scored his first goal. But I thought we played really, really well, and I've not come away from Old Trafford thinking that we played well for a good while. And I mean, I was in that camp of, well, I don't know if we might drop points again today because we haven't really been playing well at home. Probably Tuesday's performance probably still hanging over me. But I just want to talk about VAR, if you don't mind.
Sure, yeah, go for it.
Because Frank Lampard mentioned it there, obviously Paul mentioned it as well, the Leicester fan earlier. I think what we need to do is redefine what the words clear and obvious are, the FA into the IFAB, etc., etc., because The reason why people talk about rugby and cricket, why I think it works, video refereeing, is because if it's not clear and obvious, they don't overturn it. Offsides aren't meant for the arm, you know, for a potential, like, chest or something like that, you know, or an arm trying to tell people to play the ball through, or, you know, his heel or something like that. That's not what people will go and moan about. What people will moan about is if he's 4 yards offside, like Drogba was a decade ago, and people completely missed it and cost us the league title against Chelsea. That's what people are moaning about. And I think that that's what the FA and everybody else needs to get their head around, because we seem to be the only country in the world that's implemented VAR that doesn't allow the referees to go and look at the monitor. But in reality, the Champions League, they do exactly that. And that's why it worked a bit in the World Cup and worked a bit in the Champions League. I find it astonishing how, like you said before, how we're still trialling this system and we don't know what the hell to do with it. It's embarrassing.
Chalif, look, the VAR is something that works absolutely perfectly in cricket for one reason alone. It's suited to cricket. It's suited to the lines being drawn, if a ball's going to hit the stumps, if it isn't going to hit the stumps. It's all clear and obvious. The difference that we've got with football is a matter of opinion and interpretation of a lot more rules. And at this moment in time, the interpretation of the rules, who actually interprets the rules? Aidy, you tell me, who interprets the way our game is governed on the pitch?
I just want to say really quickly, another thing, the reason why it works in cricket as well, is because whenever there's an umpire's call, they stay with the on-field decision.
Yeah.
So that's what I'm saying. If it's not clear and obvious, therefore then it will then not get overturned. That's again what I'm saying with VAR in football.
Take a listen to this. This is Ole Gunnar Solskjaer asked about some of the anti-Glazer chants that were around Old Trafford today during the 4-0 win over Norwich City. This was from the press conference from Ole Gunnar Solskjaer after the game.
I'm not sure if the players will think of get it, but I noticed, yeah. And, you know, we've, as a club, we've got to stick together. We've got to be united. We are a family. I can only say from when I've been here, I've been backed by the owners, backed by Ed, and they're supporting me. And so for me, make sure we stick together. We are in all competitions. We are still in Carabao Cup, FA Cup. We're fifth in the league. We're still challenging. We've improved position from last season. We've got Europa League. So they've just got to believe me when I say I feel we're doing loads of good things behind the scenes. We are going in the right direction. See the group today? That attitude and effort and work rate, that's the core of the group that's going to go forward.
Dom McGuinness is with us. He's our Manchester man. You know the patch extremely well. You know United very well as well, Dom. Is Ole Gunnar Solskjaer just protecting the Glazers? It's the same sort of thing that Fergie used to say about him, isn't it?
What can he say? He's the manager of Manchester United. You know, he's been appointed in that role. He's hardly going to turn around and say, yeah, I heard them and I'm with the fans 100%. That's not going to happen. Of course he's going to back the Glazers. Of course he's going to back Ed Woodward, who he talks to every day, he said in previous press conferences. You know, they've got a very close working relationship.
I was going to say, there's a lot of detail with it. It's not just, you know, I'm in favour of the Glazers and leaving it at that, which he could do. Mm. He's given some detail with it as well.
Well, what he's done, he could have actually said, well, I was concentrating on the game and I didn't hear the chants,
yeah,
which is the standard thing that he could have said, but he didn't do that. He did say that the players won't be affected by the chants. They're cracking on. And, you know, there's only a few, basically. And, you know, I think after about 10 minutes after the restart in the second half. But the fact that he fronted up and said, yeah, I heard them. I'm aware of that. But all I can say is from my experience, which is just as you say, what Sir Alex used to say, you know, positive from my point of view. They're backing me 100%. They're supporting me. And as a club, we've all got to stick together or it's not going to happen. Now, obviously, fans will say, well, they're not going to have that. They've got their own opinions about the owners and they've got their own opinions about Ed Woodward. But Ollie's sticking up for the people that are backing him, and of course he is.
He is. So does that mean, and he said there's a bit in the Manchester Evening News today where Ollie said it's even in the press conference pre-game, where he says, I have conversations with Ed Woodward all the time. We're looking at how we're going to look in 1 month's time, 5 months' time, in the longer period. He knows my feelings. We know our feelings. I'm very happy with these players. That last line must worry United fans. We heard from a United fan earlier on the show, Dom, saying bring a couple of players in this January transfer window, and actually, yeah, it might not end up being that bad a season. If he says at the end, I'm very happy with these players, is that a little sign that no business is going to be done.
No, I don't believe that. And I think that, you know, things are being done behind the scenes, which is one of the points that Solskjaer made in the press conference. That's what he wants to reassure supporters, that if they knew everything that was going on behind the scenes, then, you know, maybe they'd be a little bit different about the situation here. I think that obviously, you know, he was asked about Fernandes and a scouting mission, and he wouldn't confirm that, but, you know, he didn't kill it either in terms of course they're looking at players. He said it before, you know, if they can get bodies in this transfer window, they will do that. And he knows that, you know, they do need bodies. Having said that, you know, when he's talking about the players that he's happy with, of course he's happy with Williams. Brilliant today. I asked him about the miss. That was probably a little bit off colour for me to ask about the miss when he's had a great game.
And but it gave him a chance to say he played well, which he did.
Well, of course. And the fact is, it's really Solskjaer, the striker, you know, he's got to look at that and think, oh my gosh. But the thing, he's looking at Williams, great. And he waxed lyrical about Williams in the press conference. Mata had a great game today, who's one of the old heads, who maybe, you know, still has a future here. That's interesting.
Ball for the goal.
Yeah, and he had a good game overall, I think. I mean, he assisted two goals today. And then you're looking at Rashford, of course. He's going to be the headline maker, 200 appearances, two goals. Could have had a hat-trick if he stayed on. Martial scored again. So there are players that he's going to be really happy with. Maguire played today, probably playing through the pain a bit. So there's a core of players that he's probably talking about there. He's still got to get rid of lots of players, no doubt about it. Asked about Ashley Young. Why is he not on the squad today? Club captain. You know, and again, it's not the biggest surprise in the world that he's not in the squad, because, you know, he hasn't played all the games or anything like that, and he said he's not fit. So there's going to be a clear out of players as well, and he is going to talk to Woodward. If they can add bodies, definitely. Players may well leave. He doesn't expect too many ins and outs in this window, but he can't be fully happy with the squad regardless of those words. He needs to add players, no doubt about it. We've seen today that the impact experience players have had on the kids matter, and even Matic to a certain extent as well. Experience heads are needed.
Let's bring in Alvin Martin on this, because I've got this little feeling that it's not that bad a season for Man United. We're going to hear from a fan very shortly, but Alvin, Dom just mentioned him there, Marcus Rashford, and I do want to focus on him, because in the midst of a lot of criticism of United and the odd bad performance here and there, and everybody goes to town on them, this guy is 22, 200 appearances already for Manchester United. He's had another terrific game today. He's having a wow of a season, Alvin. You know, I don't think enough is being said about how good Marcus Rashford has been this season.
I agree with everything you said there, Adrian. I think, look, there's been a lack of consistency, I suppose, to Man United, but not to Rashford. You know, what is he on, 14 goals now? And if he carries on, there's a good chance he might get up to, what, 25, between 25 and 30. You know, that's a fantastic return. And look, he is talented. What I like about him is that, as Dom said early on, he can not just score goals, he can go past people as if they're not there. And I think, you know, he is somebody that is getting better and better the more I see him. I can't figure out where I stand at the moment on Man United, because it's a very difficult time. You know, a very difficult job. Obviously, we know the Man United job is difficult, but some of the big names that have taken it over the last 7 or 8 years and haven't been able to pull it off. But he's going through a transitional period. If they hadn't won today, you know, I think prior to today, Adrian, I think it's the lowest points tally they've had for about 30 years. But I know it's a difficult time. What I was going to ask Dom, and I'd ask you, is considering how difficult it is, this job, and what a very tenuous time it is in terms of the season and results, he seems to be handling it really well, Ole Gunnar Solskjaer. And he seems to have a fortitude about him, and also an ability to be able to manage the young players at the same time, big name players in the squad as well. So I'm encouraged by Ollie. Whether or not, you know, the results between now and the end of the season are going to be good enough to take them forward, I don't know.
Yeah, well, it's interesting, Alvin, because if you ask the players about Solskjaer, now, the old pros that played with him all talk about the steel that he had. It wasn't all the babyface assassin, smiley kid and all that nonsense. He's a tough operator. And I sat down with Ashley Young recently and asked him about it, and he said it was like Sir Alex walking back in the changing room. And I said, you know, kind of really? Can he really command that amount of respect amongst all these seasoned pros? You know, forget the kids, but the seasoned pros. And he was absolutely adamant, you know, that this is a guy that does have a lot of steel around him. I've spoken to Norwegian journalists that dealt with him in Molde, and again, that comes across that, you know, he's not always Mr. Nice Guy. You know, and he's quite happy to have a go and a dig at the press. Certainly he's done that in Norway, and he stands his ground in press conferences. The smile's never far away, but, you know, you wouldn't really want to prod him too much. And I think that, you know, also, what's so key for this United side now, today they've beaten Norwich 4-0, and this is what Solskjaer will be so concerned with. this season's been one step forward, two steps back, it seems, all the way through. One brilliant result and then a couple of dodgy ones. They've got Wolves in the Cup in the week. Now, that is the only realistic option for silverware, really. You could say the Europa Cup as well, but there's a long way to go in that, as is there is in the FA Cup. But Solskjaer will be determined to get further in that. Then it's Liverpool at the weekend. Now, it's how they respond to 4-0 against Norwich. Do they take that on in the Wolves game and not have another stuttering performance? I don't think Norwich were great today, let's face it. But it's a massive week again, and it, in what has been a really interesting season for good and bad things for Solskjaer. But, you know, the kids have been his saviour. He's backed them, and that's what we saw today.
Dom, listen, thank you very much. Let's bring in Alan, who's a Manchester United fan and was at the game here at Old Trafford today. Alan, how are you doing?
I'm very well, thanks, guys. Thanks for having me on.
No problem at all. What do you want to say?
I'll tell you where I'm at with it. That's a great point that somebody just mentioned. I sit in the Stretford end, and I've not heard the Glazer chant for a long time. The guy that was saying today when we walked out, you know, we've not heard that for a while. And we didn't really know where that came from. It wasn't justified. It wasn't justified in that game. The thing for me is, watching United, it's like a box of chocolates. You don't know what's going to turn up. Under Van Gaal, he could pass anybody off the park. It'd be boring. It's going to the second half. Mourinho, you knew that he had a way of winning games. With Solskjaer, and I love it to be, I just don't know what's turning up. We beat City away, we beat Tottenham, and then we lose against Watford. I just don't get where they're going. Now, on Tuesday, I was watching Guardiola. They were 3-0 up. He's still screaming at the players to do better. And I was looking at him thinking, I want him. I want one of them. I want a Klopp. I want a Rodgers. You know, we break transfer record. We pay the best wages. Why can't we have somebody like that that's going to get us to where we want to be?
Didn't you have that with Mourinho, though?
I think Mourinho was the manager 10 years ago. I do 10 years ago. No, I just think he's living on his name. I was never that over the moon about his appointment. Grab Pochettino now before somebody else gets him. He's the one that's going to get the best. Look what he did at Tottenham with half the money. You know, let's grab him now. I'm convinced there's a game plan in United somewhere. Solskjaer is not going to get United where they need to be. Even in 5 years, we're still going to be treading water. We're still going to be in this particular situation. Because I was watching a thing today. Wan-Bissaka, does he know where the net is? Why does he shoot? I mean, he can tackle anybody. He just can't pass the ball.
Let me give you another angle on this, Alan, because I'm really intrigued by this. I remain utterly shocked that Ole Gunnar Solskjaer is the manager of Manchester United, but only because of his CV. Okay, and I'm looking at the job he's doing now, and I'm thinking, well, it's not actually that bad, and there's so many positives you can draw from it. Greenwood's goal today, he's getting a chance in the first team, and he's making an impact in the first team. The form of Rashford, the Jose Mourinho just almost refused to get out of Marcus Rashford. Ole Gunnar Solskjaer's getting this wonder form out of Marcus Rashford that is a joy to see. So, for me, and he's now turning Fred into a player. I thought he had another terrific game today. So, I mean, I understand what you're saying, but are you just going by the name, or are you actually thinking that he really isn't that good?
Well, look, I'll ask you this. If he lost his job tomorrow, right, who won him? Who picked him up? Manchester United here. Manchester United, one of the best teams in the world, right? Mourinho, Rodgers, Klopp, Guardiola, Pochettino. There's somebody putting their hand up for them. There'll be somebody putting their hand up for them straight away. Who'd want it? I love his pick, great guy. And sometimes, I've been on your show before, and had a go, and I feel like walking up to him when he comes out and say, look, I apologise, mate, because I think you're a fantastic player. He's just not the manager of Man United.
Game day, your verdict on Talk Sport.
I'm going to ball into the area, and Kevin Friend brings the 90 minutes plus to a close, and finally, Chelsea have got the home hoodoo sorted for the time being, at least. After three defeats in four here, they comfortably romp to a 3-0 win against Burnley, set on their way by Jorginho's penalty just shy of the half hour. 7 minutes from half time, Tammy Abraham nodded them 2-0 up, and then Callum Hudson-Odoi early in the second half, sliding in at the far post from a neat cross from the left from Azpilicueta, set the seal on matters. Burnley had one or two moments in the first half and a goal ruled out for offside by the video assistant referee, but Chelsea were not really troubled for long spells of this game, and so Frank Lampard's men will be happy having got the home hoodoo out of the way. Full-time score here at Stamford Bridge. as the Chelsea and Burnley players shake hands. It is Chelsea 3, Burnley 0.
Well, let's go straight to Stamford Bridge, Ian Abrahams.
Frank Lampard's with me. Frank, at least you can smile at me now. After
that's been a while. It's been a while, hasn't it?
It's been a while. 3-0, and to be fair, it could have been 6 or 7.
Yeah, that's the only thing. And that's been the story of our home form. People were asking about why we're not winning games. It's because of chance conversion in recent games, and particularly trying to get a goal and get yourself in front and the confidence that brings everybody. But some of the football throughout the game today was what we're working towards, and we have to sustain that. That's just pure work. We've worked hard this week on the training ground. We don't always get that chance because of the competitions that we're in, but that was a reflection of how the lads have worked all week. It's a great lesson for them of what sort of performance that can bring when you work hard and really focus on the important things in our game.
You got the penalty, which was a penalty. It was a ridiculous challenge really on Willian, and then Tammy got the second goal. Second half, I mean, good to see Callum get his first Premier League goal, but Tammy should have had a hat-trick today, shouldn't he?
Yeah, and there's a lesson for him, because that's what we need. We need players to be clinical in front, forward areas, and he, to be fair, we know that he has been a big thing for us this season in terms of that, but that's obviously the next stage for Tammy. But it was getting in there. The football in the build-up to a couple of those chances was fantastic stuff, so that's a big disappointment. You want to see those back again with the finish on the end. But, you know, we have to push the Callum story today is a great one, because him scoring in the six-yard box is better than him scoring from 35 yards out, in my opinion. We need to get him in there. Wingers need to get into the box. We've worked on it a lot. We've worked on crosses a lot, but we're not finishing enough of them, and we scored two today, so that makes me happy.
Back-to-back goals for him last week against Forest. Today will give him a lot of confidence going forward.
Yeah, and he needs to balance out confidence and with realisation. Confidence is great because that's what you want, and I'm really pleased with him, and I'll always build that. But the realisation is those performances come from work. They come from wanting to listen to the coaches, wanting to run into the box, wanting to get in the right positions, constantly moving to build to the penalty. To the penalty, or was it the second goal? Callum wins it, the penalty. I think he wins it deep in our half because he's in the right position and he wants to win the ball back for us. Those small details are huge for him.
I'll stop linking you with Zaha and Sancho then. No need to comment on that. Finally, VAR. We didn't have too much for here today, a little bit, but it's been a talking point over the weekend and after what Declan Rice said yesterday. I mean, how much is it getting in the way of the game?
I'm a bit frustrated with it too, just to say the least, because some days more and some days less, but it doesn't feel right. It's the passion of the game that worries me. And then you had the balance of the fact that he's getting some decisions right that were so important, some offsides that wouldn't have been seen that are, you know, decisions that he gets right. I'm still not completely against it. I get Declan. I get his emotion after the game. I agree with him on last night's one. We have to keep looking at it and see can we improve it. But at the minute, it's not feeling right.
OK, let's speak Chelsea now. Ian's been waiting on the phone. Hello, Ian. Welcome to the show.
Hiya, Laura.
Hello.
Happy New Year to you.
Happy New Year. You sound like you've got a sore throat like
yeah,
me.
Yeah, sound like you've got a bit of a cold, haven't you?
Yeah, I am bumbling my way through this show, but we're getting it.
Yeah, so much.
What did you think of your team's performance today?
I phoned you up earlier in the season and I was predicting big things for Tammy, even compared him. I was saying he was the old school Chelsea and he was the best youngster I've seen as a goal scorer to come through the Chelsea setup since Jimmy Greaves. And the goal he got at Arsenal the other week when he spun and hit it and he put it through Lino's legs, that was just sheer Greaves. I think he's really... Every week he seems to be getting stronger, leading the line, and I think he's almost a certainty to get in the England squad.
Yep.
I think the only real... Obviously, Rashford's going to get in and Harry Kane, but I think in the other pack that's around him, the only real threat I can see is Greenwood, because he's like Tammy in that he's a great goal scorer of chances, like a singular player like Greaves, like Solskjaer was. Yeah. Even there was Clive Allen, he was briefly at Chelsea, but they're from that school of just finishing, which Tammy is really deadly. So I work with a member of his family, and I know for a fact that a great friend of Tammy's is Sancho, because they came up together in the England squads. Mm. And there's rumours that Chelsea are trying to get Sancho, but he would be another good partner.
Yeah, is that a signing that you'd encourage, that you'd like to see happen?
Well, the only thing, I think Chelsea are quite strong on the wings in that they've got Hudson Adobe, the American kid's brilliant, still got William there. So I'm not saying Sancho isn't, but I'm not sure what position they'd play him in, whether or not they'd play him wide or whether or not they'd play him through the middle. But... it's very interesting. I know Lampard is a great one for wing players, and that. So, you know, the more the better. But I think they need something in midfield, just a little bit more creativity, just maybe to put the ball through for Tammy. But there's lots of options there, really.
Game day, your verdict on Talk Sport.
Leicester 1, Southampton 2 is the game Alvin has been at this afternoon. It was VAR dominated, but a win for Southampton, another one. They're in terrific form. Let's hear from the Saints manager Ralph Hasenhüttl with Talk Sport's Jeff Peters.
What does it say about the character of your team, not only to come back from that heavy defeat against Leicester in October, but to come from behind here today against a team second in the table?
Yeah, I think it's a... We wanted to give the answer that we are further in our development, that we play better football now. And even after the first goal, I didn't have the feeling that we don't think that we can get something here. And in the halftime, we spoke about our potential in our game today, that we have so many qualities now and still have every chance to win this game. And I think the guys did an absolutely fantastic job in the second half.
Lots of highs and lows with the VARs. You thought that you got a penalty in the second half and that was taken off you, and then you thought you'd conceded an equaliser right at the death, and then that was chalked off.
Yeah, it's so tight and you cannot see it, and the linesman cannot see it, so we must have the VAR, and this is a fantastic tool to make the games fair, and in the end it was one time not good for us, but in the end it was good for us.
When you look at the table, do you keep a close eye on the teams that are beneath you, or are you looking at the teams above you and going, well, this is where we can get to?
I think we do good if we more focus on the games that are coming up. There are so many teams that beat us in the first half of the season. They're coming up now, and we have the chance to do it better, and this was the first time today again, and this is the only target we have.
Ralph Hasenhüttl describing VAR as a fantastic tool. I'm not sure that everybody in football agrees with that, but I like the fact we're balancing it out. Frank Lampard's interview on VAR was magnificent from the Moose, and Ralph Hasenhüttl obviously happy. And listen, for those that don't know, VAR, I believe, correct me if I'm wrong, Alvin, ruled out 3 Leicester goals today. Is that right?
Yeah, and do you know what? Everyone that was used was for offsides. So for offsides, Adrian, I think it's accurate. It's working. It's for the other things, for the red cards, for the handballs, whether there's intent on a foul or a handball. That's where it lacks for me, and that's where the... But at what cost, Adrian? This game here today, the right decisions were being made. They may have been the right decisions anyway. Without VAR, I don't know. I think the success rate for referees before VAR come in, don't forget, was pretty high. We're not talking about them getting 50% of them wrong and 50% of them right. The percentages were way up there. VAR is going to improve it fractionally, but what cost is it? You know, it's to a certain degree, it's ruined the game today. We've got the right results, but I think it's taken away from the spectacle and the spontaneity of the game and the emotion of the game. It is a real danger to us.
Let's go to a Leicester fan. Paul is with us on the show. What do you want to say, Paul?
Good evening. I completely agree with Alvin there on the VAR. I mean, it didn't get anything wrong, that's for sure, but it just ruins the game so much. It really does. You don't know when to cheer, when not to cheer. But, you know, today, Southampton totally deserved it. Worst performance of the season from Leicester. Danny Ings was absolutely outstanding. If he's not called up for England, then something's wrong. I mean, he was literally such a figurehead for their team today. And they wanted it more today, which is a little bit disappointing for us.
It wasn't great from Leicester in midweek, was it? And followed that up, have Leicester run out of legs a little bit, possibly?
Yeah, I think they probably have. There's been a lot of changes. We've had to change the team a lot. Brendan's changed the team a lot to try and keep legs fresh, but we've so much missed Wilson Diddy today. I think actually Southampton had more possession than us, which is the first time for a long time that's happened. And, you know, we didn't have an on-breaking up the midfield, but credit to them, you know, that they're not in relegation trouble anymore, that's for sure.
Brendan, can you take many positives out of today?
No, I don't think we honestly deserved anything from it, you know, on both aspects of our game, where we've been very good this season, both defending and attacking. We just weren't quite at our best, So congratulations to Southampton. It looked like it was going to be a draw, probably up until late on, and then they get the goal and we just couldn't find a way through.
Danny Ings was certainly knocking at the door. They had lots of chances in the game. You've been obviously very good at home this season. What in particular frustrated you with Leicester's performance today?
Well, I think the overall game, we base and pride our game on our defending and how we defend and the aggression, and we just couldn't we didn't for some reason we didn't have that energy in our press today. So lots of duels in the game that we didn't quite win. And of course, whenever you're Southampton, you have that clear week and you have that energy in their team, then of course they can be a threat. If you don't press it well and together, then of course they've got good players that can play through, and I think their form has shown that. So that, you know, gave away too many opportunities than what we've seen with this team, especially at home. And then alongside that, we didn't attack the game well. We couldn't find the fluency, and obviously we made too many mistakes with the ball. You know, their two goals come from mistakes from us, and then, like I say, it then become a difficult afternoon for you.
Lots of stopping and starting with VAR. That was a very busy one today.
Yeah, I thought it was a broken game. Like I said, both teams looking to press, so there was lots of first, second, third balls in the game. And like you say, the two VAR decisions, but two correct decisions.
Obviously a high right at the end, thinking that you'd equalise. But you've had the opposite this season, haven't you, where you thought a goal was chalked off and then it was given to you. So I suppose it swings and roundabouts. Is that how you view it?
Well, that's right. It's again, yeah, and I don't get emotionally too caught up with it. I think if it was David last night in the game, you know, that's one that really hurts. But like I say, I've always said, they're there. It needs improvements, of course. But I thought the two decisions were good for the penalty for them and for us.
I think it's six games in the space of about 3 weeks for you. How difficult is it going to manage this period?
Well, I think thankfully we have, you know, we've come off a December and a January schedule, early January schedule, where there's been a lot of effort and a lot of physicality going into it. So thankfully now we're going to have a few days just to emotionally and physically recover, because the players have put in so much. They've been absolutely brilliant up until this point. And so we need to go and recover now and then have a good training week leading into next weekend. So and then, like I say, we have to go again.
Game day.
The biggest football league in the world.
Game day. Your verdict on Talk Sport.
The Premier League All Access podcast is proud to be brought to you by Ladbrokes. The latest odds? We set them. Form guides? We've got them. Expert opinions? We share them. The best fans in the world deserve the best. Be match day ready before the whistle blows with Ladbrokes. Odds update on Talk Sport with Ladbrokes. Are you in? Let's go. Play at ladbrokes.com. 18 plus. Be gambleaware.org. T's and C's apply.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free, or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.